This morning's reading is taken from the New Testament, Mark chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. Then Jesus went out to the lake shore again and taught the crowds that were coming to him. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at his tax collector's booth. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Levi got up and followed him. Later, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. There were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. But when the teachers of religious law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with such scum?" When Jesus heard this, he told them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." Lord.
Thank you, John. Tuesday night this past week, I was here at Knox for a meeting. It went from about 6:30 to 8 o'clock, and I came out of my meeting walking down the hallway, and I saw this group of senior high youth scattering from their own gathering and meeting with lots of excitement, kind of, I'm going to call it an infectious kind of joy. I mean, honestly, I have never seen a teenager go home so excited as Evan Signer was that night with a package of anti-diarrhea pills. Not that he needed them, but there was all kinds of stuff being given out in senior high that night for Stump the Pastor, and I think Pastor Mike, he got about 50% of them right, but then you know what he got with the other, he got the other half, he missed a few, didn't he? Yeah, and you got, well, we won't, you had grapes too, and there was pineapple, and I don't know, it was such an assortment of things, and I, you know, here's what I had to say to myself. I just had to say, wow. And I uttered a thankful prayer at that point. I just said, "God, I'm grateful." So they're going out, and I head back into the gathering hall, and I see the doors open in the sanctuary, and I come into the sanctuary. And I got to tell you, what I saw there was absolutely thrilling again, because there were the instrumentalists, there were the singers, and they were, it just looks like they were poised, they're just ready to go. They were full of life. There was eagerness on their faces and in their bodies. And folks, this was just practice. Do you hear what I said? You know, I remember what it was like for me when my mother insisted I go to piano lessons and I had to come home after they were, and I had to practice. No, I wouldn't go to practice. There was other, but these folks, practice. And they were having a blast at it. And I said, in myself, I said, wow. And I prayed, "God, I'm grateful." I mean, you really have to love it when you see the power of God at work in people's lives, really bringing them, bonding them together. And, you know, whether that's a group of senior high youth or, you know, the praise team, it's amazing when you see God doing something new in the lives of people that brings them together, where they begin to deeply understand that the best part of it all is just being together and knowing that you're loved by God, knowing that you're onto something, that God really, truly, deeply loves you, passionate about you. Now, I love what Matt said, you know, when we started off the worship this morning, because he said to us something like this. He said, "Good morning, folks. Welcome to church." And, you know, welcome to senior high youth group. Welcome to practice. You know, when God's at work and he's bringing people together, there's something glorious and powerful about that, people knowing that they're loved by God. But church doesn't always have, does it, that kind of image or experience. Sometimes the, you know, it's not that church is the best thing that's going on. It can be like the experience of it for some people, the image of it, the appearance of it can be the worst that's happening. Our scripture this morning, John read it. It's got a story. I'm going to call it the story of the best and the worst. And Jesus has a powerful corrective to share with us, you know, through the Word, by His Spirit this morning, that really, I believe this, that becomes the, it's to be the pattern. It's really the game plan for us. It's the model for how we're to live our lives like Jesus lived His life. So quickly, the story. Jesus walked by a tax collector's booth, and these booths were like toll stations. They were strategically placed to intercept traffic in the major trade routes, and this toll booth was in a main road in Capernaum. And I got my geography right. One direction was Rome, and the other direction was Egypt. And tolls were collected there. And goods and services. It was like in Jesus' day, the GST, right, sort of thing, the tax. But this was an oppressive tax. Well, maybe it is in our own day. I don't know. Won't comment. But, you know, so much for every wagon cart, so much for every mule, so much for the grain and for the fish and for the garments. There were no posted tolls. You didn't know what to expect. You came up to the toll booth and the tax was set high enough so that some went to Caesar and some went to the governor and then some went here, right, just into the pockets of the person who was collecting it. Levi was that person. He was the tax collector. He was hated. He was scorned. Tax collectors, you know, there's phrases that are used right through the Gospels, and they're lumped right in there with all the other disreputable sinners, ostracized, shunned, unacceptable. They're off limits for respectable people. But Jesus had a different set of eyes. And He moved right into Levi's world with the eyes of a doctor, seeing only the needs in Levi's life that God can heal. And Jesus called Levi into a new way of life, a new way of living, not with, you know, the angry glare of an offended, stern, sentencing judge, but as a friend committed to his well-being, his health, his shalom, in every way, every dimension of his life. And Jesus said to him, Levi, come, follow me, be my disciple. It was like Jesus was saying to him, Levi, there's a better way than what you've got yourself stuck in. It's a new way of living. Come and follow me, and I'll show you what it's all about. You sent pokes over the internet to people, have you? It was like Jesus was sending a love poke that just went deep right into Levi's heart. And Levi got up from his tax booth and he followed Jesus. Now, got to note this, you got to get this, that Levi didn't have to get up and follow Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, here's my resume. It's 6 pages and it's glowing and it's, you know, A++ and, you know, it's I'm a worthy person. I've got it all listed here, numerically listed here. I mean, you can take me as one of your followers. No. In fact, Levi, in truth, had very little, if anything, that he could offer to commend himself to Jesus. And the point is really a big one. You see, it wasn't only the worthy. This is not the way it was made or constructed to be in God's eyes and heart in Jesus. It's not the worthy who can follow Jesus. No, you follow Jesus and then you become, by the grace, the power, the healing graces of Jesus, you become worthy. And that excited, the prospect of that excited Levi. And he told his friends. And you got to know that the only friends that Levi had were just as disreputable as he was. And he decided that he'd throw a party. He invited Jesus, and he invited Jesus' followers to come to his home for this dinner party. And I got to put the emphasis on party, because that's really what the text implies here. It was a party. And then you have in brackets, and I don't know how to take this. I mean, you just have to love it. But because what it has in brackets is, there were many other people of this kind. You know, you hear people talking about your kind of people. Levi's kind of people were the disreputable kind of people, okay? And it says in brackets in the text, there were many other people of this kind, the disreputable kind, and then it says this, among Jesus' followers. Do you hear that? It wasn't just the other disreputable people who were friends of Levi. These were the followers of Jesus. This was the gang of them. Disreputable sorts together. However, none of them were the kind of people that the religious leaders thought it was appropriate to hang out with. And you get some strong words that are given right now. Here it comes. They said, in effect, well, the text says this, they were scum. Levi's friends, Jesus' followers, they were scum. Why does he eat with such scum? Wasn't a question. It was an accusation. Ready to take him to court on it and judge him and condemn him. And Jesus' response, maybe you'll have to put it on for me, is that healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I've come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are broken, those who know they need healing, those who know they are sinners. Now, Jesus went right into the very center of Levi's world, and he wasn't afraid for a moment of being contaminated. Rather, Jesus was there to contaminate people with the transforming, healing love of God. Now, Jesus wasn't condoning the artful thievery, the greedy theft that was going on by Levi the tax collector. In fact, what Jesus was doing, Jesus was blessing Levi with a new start, and he gave Levi a new name, the name of Matthew. And that name signified everything that Levi was to become. Matthew means gift of God. And that's seeing with the eyes of a doctor, seeing the need and offering healing. You see, the first word with Jesus is always love. Now, I hear through the grapevine that you had a great message on love last Sunday. And I'm really thankful and grateful to Matthew, gift of God Lingard, for that. You see, Jesus loved Levi before he changed. He was just that greedy tax collector. And Jesus loved Levi into Matthew. Jesus loved Matthew into change. Can you give me the next one? At this point, I believe that every church really does face two choices. You can have a church, you can create a church culture, understanding, worldview, if you want, with very strict and defined boundaries where people are branded and they're pigeonholed, and the emphasis is on excluding in order to keep everything on the inside pure and untainted. That's one direction a church can choose to go in. But there's also another direction, and it's the way of Jesus. It's the alternative way of Christ, and it's the way of the open door, an open heart, the way of welcome. Welcome to church. Doors wide open. Jesus is here. It's called the law of love. He gives us a model. He gives us a pattern to follow. I think of it like this. I could put it in some short phrases. I would say it's like this. Enjoy life, love people, and throw parties. Right? You got it? Enjoy life, love people, throw parties. Now, you don't have to agree. You don't have to condone. You don't have to bless every behavior, the behaviors of people. Jesus didn't agree with Levi's behavior. He didn't condone that or bless it. My final slide up there. But what Jesus says to us is that you should never disagree with God about what's the paramount call in our lives, and that's the call to welcome, to love others. We're not given by Jesus any kind of command to judge others. We're given the command to love. The command to love the Levites in our lives into the Matthews of God's gift of a new life. It's the command to be an agent or an ambassador of God's healing. That's our call. Not an agent of judgment and condemnation, but of the healing and life-changing love of God. Actually, I do have one more slide, and maybe the praise team could come up with this one. For me, it really comes down to this. What's in the story here, the pattern that's in the story is this. Be a friend and let God take it from there. A week ago, I was in Vancouver for several days to assist in the graveside service and the memorial service for one of my professors from years ago, a real mentor for me and someone who became a good friend over four decades, the Reverend Dr. Ian Rennie. And I flew out on the Tuesday, all the two services, afternoon, evening on the Wednesday, and I was coming home later in the day on Thursday. But on that Thursday, it was arranged for me that I would meet up with somebody at a hotel near the airport, and this individual would wait there with me while I waited for some other people to come and pick me up, and I would go out to lunch with the other people. Now, there was a time in my life when I would not have gotten close to, near to, given the time of day to a person like this that I was to spend this time waiting with at the hotel. But I spent something like 45 minutes with a person that years and years ago I would have simply defined as one of the disreputable types. But in that 45 minutes, we chatted, we laughed, we shared life stories together, and we became friends. And when the other folks came to pick me up, we hugged each other goodbye and said, you know, plans to see each other in the near future. You know, I've been thinking about that, but thinking about the whole 3 days, that intense 3 days that I was out there, and I've been thinking, God, there's so much about that. That's just what you ask of me, what you ask of us as your people, to be a friend and to let you take it from there. That's really exactly how I'm approaching thinking about wanting to give my own life into what's going to be taking place here at Knox this coming weekend. To be a friend to others and let God simply take it from there. Be a friend and invite the people in my life. Be a friend and invite the people in your life to come and to hear Ash and Bloom on Friday night. And understand God will take care of the rest, whatever the rest is that God needs to take care of. God will do that. Be a friend and invite people to come to breakfast on Saturday morning with you to hear the fiddle tunes of Brielle Goheen while you eat your, you know, bacon and eggs. And know and understand, God will take care of the rest, all the rest that God needs to take care of. And then on Saturday afternoon, simply be a friend and invite families with the children that you know to come with you to hear Mr. Ben. And understand that whatever the rest is, God is the one who gets to look after that. He'll take care of it. In other words, enjoy life, love people, and come. Throw a party. We're throwing a party. Come to the party. We've got three of them. You count Sunday morning, we've actually got four parties going on this coming weekend. And the best part of it all, I want these eyes, Lord, through the whole weekend. You alone. You are the great physician. Just let us, all of us, spend time with other people, you know, just living life, laughing and enjoying, having a party, and leaving with you, helping to change the Levi's into the Matthews. That's God's job. The Levi's into the Matthews, so they become true gifts of God.